You make me think that I had won.
That's a sick thing to do to a five-year-old. Like, my world came crashing down in that moment. Like, I didn't care what else they told me. I was devastated because my whole life had been wrapped around this trophy that I found out to be fake. And I want to point out to you guys, your guys' campus staff, the traveling team, and every person in this room is living for a trophy. And the last thing any of us want to do is get to the end of our lives, stand before the judgment seat, and find out from God that what we're living for is a fake trophy. See, the world is a fake trophy factory. For the rest of our college careers and the rest of our lives, it'll tell you have to live for your major. You have to live for the American dream, for a good career, a big house, a big car, 2.5 kids, and a picket fence. And just like my sweet mother, it will intentionally deceive you into living for something that's fake. But guys, the only way to guarantee that we don't live for a fake trophy is to align our purpose with God's purpose. To align our purpose with God's purpose. And he makes his purpose abundantly clear that throughout all of Scripture, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, God has one mission. That is to see all nations worshiping him. Tonight, I want to build a case for you that proves God loves each and every one of you and he has a purpose for your life. That the Bible is not 66 separate books, but the Bible is one book with one theme. That God has a heart for all nations. And my challenge for you guys, have a note sheet in front of you. I kept it kind of bare because I want to build a case. I want you guys to take down your own notes, but there's also some fill in the blanks. My challenge for you is this, that you guys would live for what lasts. That you guys would live for what lasts. See, the Bible makes it very clear. God makes it very clear. There are only three things that last for all of eternity. That is God, God's word, and the souls of men. Can we use our majors to glorify God? Absolutely. Don't hear me say you can't use your major. But my challenge is for you to live for what lasts. We're getting ready to walk from Revelation, or from Genesis to Revelation, in like 20 minutes. You guys ready for that? All right, we're going to fly. I'm going to start out in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 may be one of the most foundational chapters in the entire Bible. But let me give us some context before we get there. Genesis chapter 1, God creates Adam and Eve. The very first command ever given to mankind was this: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The very first command ever given. But what happens? Man sins. It gets so bad. God hits the reset button, floods the entire earth, and starts over again with Noah. As Noah's walking off the ark, he hears this command from God: be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Why does God repeat himself? Because God, from the very first chapter of the Bible, has desired and designed to see the world filled with worshipers who know and love him. That's his plan from the first chapter. Then we come to Genesis chapter 11, and literally God scatters the nations around the world. And that's the context we come to when we look at Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, God chooses one man and his family in order to make his purpose happen. That guy's name is known as Abram, better known as Abraham. This is what he says. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Guys, God looks down at Abram and says, bro, I'm going to hook you up. Now, God pours out grace freely. I guarantee you do not have to earn his grace and his blessing. But God looks down at Abram and says, dude, I'm going to hook you up, but don't miss this. It's not just for you. See, I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all nations on earth will be blessed through you. God pours out grace freely. You don't have to earn it. But the recipient of that grace is never intended to be the final destination. The picture God is setting up here in Genesis chapter 12 is that we are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses his followers, his people, his children, so that they may be a blessing to all nations. That's the picture that God uses the rest of the Bible. Now, I got to see this in my own life. Let me illustrate this. My junior year at Kansas State, I met a guy on a basketball court. He stood out to me because he didn't look like a basketball player. Then he proceeded to wipe me up and down the court. And then after we were done playing, he had the nerve to invite me over for burgers. If he can play good, he can cook good. So I'm at his place, and he's grilling. We're talking. He begins to engage me in spiritual conversation. Jake, what do you think happens when you die? Jake, what do you believe about God? By the end of the night, he had clearly laid out the gospel for me to understand that my sin, no matter how big or small I thought it was, separates me from a holy God. And that Jesus came, died on a cross to remove that separation so that I could have a relationship with the God of the universe. And that was new to me. See, I grew up going to church, but I didn't know following Jesus was a relationship. Like Sarah said earlier, a relationship grows over time. The more time you spend around that person, the more what they desire becomes what you desire. That's what happens. And what Jesus desires is the worship of all nations. Now, this dude that started sharing the gospel with me, he shared me for the gospel with me for the next 30 days. And then I started following Christ. And as a young Christian, I watched his life, and he shared the gospel constantly. His classmates, professors, people on the basketball court. He would take people to Chipotle to share the gospel with them. Like, oh, those heavenly burritos. He spent his summers on summer projects teaching others how to share their faith. I cut off to him like, dude, why do you share the gospel with everything that moves? And he looked at me, he said, Jake, when the love of God lands on me, I can't help but share it with somebody else. Do you guys see that picture? When the love of God lands on me, I can't help but share it with somebody else. We are blessed to be a blessing. No one had to teach him that. For him to share his faith, it wasn't super Christian status. And it's just a normal Christian lifestyle. And that's just what you do. The grace has come because it's on its way to somebody else. That's the picture God sets up here in Genesis chapter 12. It's the one he uses the rest of history. Get used to that phrase, all nations on earth, because God only repeats it about 1,500 more times. That same promise to Abraham's son, Isaac, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. To his grandson, Jacob, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. It's the same with the stories. David and Goliath. Have you guys ever heard of the story of David and Goliath? If you haven't, let me sum it up for you. Short dude, tall dude, awesome headshot. Right? I mean, that is the story of David and Goliath. And I always thought this story was for me to face my giants. I always thought that if God is on my side, no one can stand against me. That's partially true. But that's not the main theme of this story. See, guys, David understood that God was going to bless him with victory, but it wasn't for his sake. This is what he says as he walks out on the battlefield. David said to Goliath, "This day I will strike you down, Goliath, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." See, guys, David understood God's not blessing me for me. God's going to bless me to use me to make his name famous among all nations. Question. Have you guys ever heard of the story of David and Goliath? That's why. Because God used it to make his name famous. It's the same with Moses in the Exodus out of Egypt. I've raised you up for this very purpose, Pharaoh, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. If we grew up in church, we heard a lot of Bible stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lions, and Solomon's wisdom, the dedication of the temple, the crossing of the Jordan, Jonah and the whale, the Ten Commandments. I can keep going. All these stories we heard all have the same theme, that God blesses his people in order to be a blessing to all nations. It's the same in the Psalms. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Guys, I love this verse. And I love God's face shining upon me. I love being blessed by Him. But I have a problem. That's not a period. That's a period with a tail. It's called a comma. The verse doesn't stop there. God, why do you bless us? Well, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. We are blessed to be a blessing. And it's the same in the prophets. Isaiah 49. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles. That's just the nations. So that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Guys, God looks down and He says, it is too small a thing for you to reach your own people. If we have a vision to reach all of this campus, maybe the entire state of Wisconsin, maybe the entire United States, that's a good vision. It's just too small. If we reach the entire United States, we have tapped into 5% of the heart of God. Because America only makes up 5% of the world's population. God loves the other 95% just as much. And we need to be taking the gospel there as well. So let's reach our dorm, our apartment, this campus, all of Wisconsin. But let's not stop there. Let's do that so that God's name would be made famous among all nations. That's His plan. And He wants to use His people to be a part of that. As a kid, I had a bunch of toy tractors. I don't know if you guys did, but I would do some major work with these things. Like, I was plowing the carpet. I had corn on one side, beans on the other, my little red barn. But when my dad would walk inside, he'd say, hey, Jake, you want to come to work with me? I always went, because that meant I got to drive a real tractor. He would walk me outside, set me on the side of this huge honking green thing, climb up behind me, and I'd begin to steer. Now, was I actually driving this tractor? No. Because if I was actually driving this thing, something tragic would have happened. I would have driven through a fence, over a cow, into a pond. If I was actually driving this thing, something bad would have happened. But He was always right there. He was sitting right behind me, guiding me, making sure that we were on the right track. Guys, why do dads take their children to work with them? See, it doesn't make sense. It always causes more work for the father. Causes more time, more effort. So why do they do it? Because it brings a dad so much joy. It brings a dad so much joy to have his children come to work with them. They absolutely love taking them to be a part of what they're already doing. It's no different for our Father in heaven. He absolutely loves taking His children to work with them. What He is doing is on a global scale. So if we join the Father in what He's doing, guys, we join something that is so much bigger than ourselves. We join Him in what He is doing around the world. It gives us purpose and joy. Oh, but He loves it so much because He loves you so much. If we don't join the Father in what He is doing, it's nothing more than playing with toys on the carpet. Because the things of this world do not last. You can use your major. I told you that earlier. But please, check your motivation. Is your motivation to have that major, to get that degree, to have that career, to bless yourself? Or is it to glorify God? It's about the intention behind it. When we flip the page, we go from the Old Testament and into the New. We find four books specifically on Jesus' life. And His life was the Great Commission. He lived it out. Now, Jesus is the perfect picture of a father and a son going to work together. But maybe the best place to see God's heart for the world is to go to the most famous verse in the whole Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And my whole life, I've been taught to plug my name right there where it says the world. For God so loves Jake. That's absolutely true. Guys, it is absolutely true that God loves me so much. God loves each and every person in here so much that if you were the last person on earth, he still would have sent his son just the same. That is scandalous love, and that's how much he loves each and every one of us. But the problem I ran into is that I never took my name back out. I always left it, for God so loves Jake. Because when the blessing came to me, it stopped with me. And that's not how he designed it. We are blessed to be a blessing. When we look at the cross, it's the same picture. It says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 2:2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Those words, atoning sacrifice, simply mean that God took our sin, our punishment, and the wrath that was for us, and he placed it on his son. And then he took his son's righteousness along with grace and mercy and placed it on us. That's the gospel. Guys, never get over the fact we're not getting what we deserve. Because we deserved punishment, but we got grace instead. It says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus came to earth to die on a cross, but he came to die for the sins of the whole world. His heart is for all nations, is yours. After he died, he spent 3 days in the grave, and then he arose under his own power, and then he began to walk on earth. He spent 40 days walking on earth. And in those 40 days, we got what we call the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples of all nations. We have coined this the Great Commission. But that's a missions myth. See, the Great Commission is not one verse at the end of Matthew. The Great Commission is five verses in five different books of the Bible. It just happens to start with the one in Matthew. Go and make disciples of all nations. But it sounds very similar in Mark. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole world. Creation. And in Luke, this is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. I know you guys are studying the book of John right now. In the book of John, Jesus repeatedly calls himself the sent one. The Father sent me. I have been sent. Around 40 times he says that. But the last time he says it, John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. How was Jesus sent? Study it. Because we're sent in the same way. The last one, maybe my favorite one. It's Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why is this my favorite one? Well, this is Acts 1:8. See, what happens in Acts 1:9, Jesus ascends into heaven. Guys, these are literally his last words on earth. And a person's last words are never wasted words. He planned for his followers to hear him say, "You are to be my witnesses. I am sending you." He makes it very clear that the Great Commission, all five different ones, they're not like an option that we consider, but they're all commandments for us to obey. But why five? I ask myself, why five different commissioning texts? Why not leave it just one? Well, because Jesus knows my heart. Guys, he knows my heart's deceitful, that my flesh would rather live in Kansas on a cattle ranch and drive a big truck and bless myself. That's what my flesh would rather do. He gave me five verses, five different commissioning texts so that I wouldn't miss it. Jake, I am sending you. You are to be my witness to take the gospel to the nations. See, what happens when we obey the commandments of God, we experience the promises of God. I never thought living in a minivan, traveling the country, being a public speaker would be a life to the full. But John 10:10 promises me it is. And I have the best job in the world. Not because of what I do, but because I'm following him. Because I'm joining Dad. And he promises me a life abundantly. See, Paul understood this. Paul says this in Galatians 3. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Very simply put, that if you're in this room and you know Jesus, welcome to the family. The family business is missions. Guys, that's just what we do. Like our father before us, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are blessed to be a blessing. The same promise God gave Abraham is now for us to now here for us to claim. God has a plan and has a purpose. He plans to use his people in order to make his purpose happen. 7 years old, I was standing in our barn. Me and my older brother, he's 5 years older than me, so he's much wiser. We begin to walk back to the house. It's 11 o'clock at night, so it's pitch black. We get about halfway back, and he looks at me. He says, Jake, do you know where the Big Dipper is? And as a 7-year-old, I'm like, of course I do. And I just reached up and pointed. I said, bro, the Big Dipper's right there. And like any good big brother would do, he looked at me. He said, you're an idiot. That's the moon. Oh. Then he drags my hand all the way across the sky and begins to point out the dots that make up the Big Dipper. And I guarantee you this, that every night that I've been out since, I know exactly where the Big Dipper is. Like, I can't unsee it. That's the Big Dipper. That's the moon. Like, I get it now. Okay, I see it. That is my heart for you guys tonight, is that as we walk throughout Scripture, showing you all the dots that make up God's heart for all the nations, that for the rest of your life, you would never read the Bible the same again. Every time you open it up, you would see God's purpose for your life to be a blessing to all nations. And that'll look different for every person in here. But he has a plan, and he cannot fail. As we continue to connect some dots, I want to connect a few dots on the map as well. There's a part of the world called the 1040 window. Now, the 1040 window is 10 degrees north latitude to 40 degrees north latitude from West Africa throughout the Middle East, India, past East Asia. Now, each dot represents 50,000 non-Christians. Are there needs around the world? Yeah. I mean, there are dots around the world. There are needs all over the world. But the reason I talk about the 1040 window is that in this part of the world, this is where 97% of the world's unreached people live. 97% of the world's unreached people live in this part of the world, live in this box. Now, unreached doesn't mean unsaved. Unsaved just means they don't follow Jesus. There is unsaved people all over this campus. Unreached means they don't follow Jesus and they couldn't if they wanted to. The majority of around 2.9 billion people will be born, live their entire lives, and die. And they won't hear the gospel once that we talk about every week. They don't have a Bible in their language, maybe a church in their city or country. They'll never walk around and meet a Christian who could share the gospel with them. And as the family, We can't be okay with that. Because Jesus died for them. He deserves their worship. And they need his grace. That's what the story looks like right now. But take courage. That's not the end of the story. Guys, we know the end of the story. When we align ourselves with God's purpose for our life, we are guaranteed not to fail because God cannot fail. He even gives us a picture of heaven. Revelation 5:9 says, "You, Jesus, are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Guys, in heaven, we're going to be singing some songs. And one of the songs, if not the main song we're singing, is about Jesus and how he died on a cross for people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. It's going to be amazing. If you had me choose one verse in the entire Bible that proves God's heart is for all nations, I wouldn't choose Matthew 28:19. I would choose Revelation 5:9. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And God desires the worship of the nations so much that he purchased them with the life of his son. And two chapters later, we see the choir singing those songs. It says, "I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." Guys, heaven is going to be one big multicultural worship service to Jesus. It's going to be amazing. See, contrary to popular belief, it is not going to be a bunch of Americans singing Chris Tomlin songs. It's going to be so much better than that. Lecrae will make a guest appearance because I think he's that good. But all the nations, thank you, Nick, all the nations will be there. And are you going to be a part of that? Literally, all of Scripture and all of history is moving to make that happen. God doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. So my challenge for you at the beginning was to live for what lasts. To live for what lasts all of eternity. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, "They will do it for a crown that will not last, but we will do it for a crown that lasts forever." See, missions is not as much about missions as we want to make it out to be. Missions is more about lordship. Does God have my whole heart or just a part of it? Does he have my whole life or just my Wednesday nights? Now, if we jumped online and we Googled missions, we'd probably find around 2 billion ways to be involved. And I narrowed them down to two words. Go and send. How do we join God in what he is doing? Well, we either join him by going or sending. We either go or send. That may be hard to see. The red's not showing up. But the big black area right here says go. I didn't realize that until he got up in the back. So go or send. And that's what the part two is all about. Like, how do I do that as a college student? How do I do that here on campus as a freshman, as a sophomore? Maybe I'm a graduating senior. Maybe I'm an engineering student or I'm a teacher. Guys, how do I join God in what he is doing in my own degree, in my own major, in my own desires? That's what the part two is all about. So I encourage everyone in here to stick around for the part two and learn more about that. But let me run through them really quickly. We can go here. We can go here by reaching out to internationals in our community, on our campus, in this state. Literally, the nations are at our doorstep. We can reach the nations without getting a passport, buying a plane ticket, or even learning a new language. It's that simple. We can also go there. I know some of you guys, a lot of you guys, are going there this summer. Some of you guys are going to different parts of the world. Some of you guys are going on training projects. That's awesome. I encourage every single person in here to do that this summer or next. But we can also go there by taking a vision trip, studying abroad, getting an internship, maybe just giving a year after we graduate. So we can go there, but we can also send. We can send by praying. We can pray that God would send out laborers into his harvest field, Matthew 9, 37 and 38. We can also send by giving financially. And let me point out, because this is kind of where it gets a little fuzzy. This is not A team and B team, varsity and junior varsity. That's not even close to being true. Both are equally spiritual. God wants senders and he wants goers. But in the same way both are equally spiritual, they both need to be equally sacrificial. If somebody is giving up his whole life, their whole life, to go to where the gospel is not, we need to be giving up our whole lives to make sure they get there. And so the card, will you guys grab the card? It was on your chair. It looks kind of like this. Grab that real quick as I close. This card on the front side is most of the missions verses we went through and some more. Some of just the 1,500 verses that are in there. So I encourage you guys to read them yourself. Go through the Bible. Take a friend through it. Highlight them. See that God's heart's for all nations throughout all of Scripture. But the backside, the lighter side, is a commitment. And it says, I commit myself to being a cross-cultural goer or a sacrificial sender. And what's that mean? Does it mean I book my one-way ticket to Ooga Booga Land tomorrow? Or give 100% of my money to missions? No. I mean, it can if you want it, but that's not what I'm talking about. This commitment simply means, and don't worry, I'm not picking it up. It's between you and God. That I want to take the next step. That God, I want to jump in the tractor with you. In a second, I'm going to ask all of you guys to be bold, and whoever's committing to this, to raise their card way up high. I'm just going to pray for you. But it doesn't mean, it could look different for every person in here. Maybe the next step is getting plugged in a Bible study. Maybe the next step is going on the STP this summer. Maybe it's coming to the part two. Maybe it's buying a book. See, that next step will look different for everyone in here. Some of you seniors, maybe you need to really consider giving a year overseas after you graduate. Maybe more. So if you're in this room and you want to jump in the tractor with Dad and join him in what he's doing around the world, in whatever way that may be, would you take your card, raise it up way up high, and let me just pray for you as I close? Thank you. Father God, I praise you so much for those that are in this room, those that are raising their hands and those that aren't. God, I know this is a big commitment and we don't make it lightly. I thank you because you loved us, because you first loved us, and that allows us to love you. We thank you for the gospel and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives and around the world. I pray that this campus, these students, these people would be willing to be used mightily by you to see the nations reached for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.